So we're going to read from Luke chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, it's there in page 1028. And if you raise a hand, someone will bring you some Bibles. It looks like most people already have them. I'm going to grab a sip of water and we're good to go. Right. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, and I was just, just so used to reading that when I was growing up that I didn't twig until my wife was expecting her first baby, that, you know, the sixth month is the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. In when you're pregnant, you're very aware of what month it is. And this was the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. The story's been told earlier in chapter 1 of how the angel came to Zachariah and Elizabeth, telling them they were having a baby. And then in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth. I don't know if we'd have ever have heard of Nazareth if the angel hadn't done that visit. I wonder who comes from the most remote, unheard of. Do you reckon you come or born in a place that no one's ever heard of? Anyone kind of vying for that title? No one in the room? Okay. Good. Richard? Carluk? Anyone else heard of Carluk? Graham has. Go on, Margie, you get a try. Well, Bransby. Anyone else heard of Bransby? Margie wins. Bransby. I tell you what, Nazareth was a nowhere place. Just a village. And an angel of God Almighty came to Nazareth with a message that probably in the next few weeks is going to be read in so many different languages and places all the way around the world. Isn't that just like our God? In the sixth month, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." Don't you love that verse? You just say it together. "For nothing is impossible with God." Hope you believe that. It's true. Mary answers, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary answered, "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. So Lord, open our eyes to see wonderful things in your word, I pray. Amen. Call tonight's talk, Three Servants and a Baby. Three Servants and a Baby. I wonder what comes to your mind when you hear that title. Maybe it's that 80s film, Three Men and a Baby. And, these men trying to struggle to know what to do with this baby who ends up on their doorstep. But maybe, too, you'd kind of think three servants and a baby. You actually think, well, surely, David, Christmas is going to be three wise men and a baby, or three kings and a baby. And, that kind of fits. But three servants and a baby, I don't kind of really see that in the Christmas story. Where are these three servants and a baby? I know the kings, I know the shepherds. Well, here we have servants of God Almighty. Servants who are very different from one another, but who are all in their various ways living and pointing to this baby who's the focus of the Christmas story. And you know, servants are not very popular in our culture today. We kind of don't often think of that as a particularly a great word, unless it's self-service. You know, we like self-service coffee and self-service, you know, shops and self-service petrol stations and self-service, you know, because self-service is kind of what we kind of do. That's where we do kind of service and servanthood. And often, you know, the image that comes to our mind with, you know, a servant might be Manuel on Fawlty Towers, you know, and, you know, or something like that, or Jeeves. And, you know, it's a picture that doesn't necessarily inspire. But interestingly, the Bible always is seeking to lift up this role of the servant. The Apostle Paul, who we've been looking at in the morning services, in the epistles, he time and time again introduces himself, Paul, a servant of God. So many other different phrases or titles or you know, descriptions he could use, but that is the one he often chooses, Paul, a servant of God. And so we have three servants here in this passage this morning, and I want us to think this evening, afresh tonight as we hear, watch that powerful drama and think what it is to go and be those lights in the world, what it is to be a servant of the Lord's. So the first servant I want us to think about, servant number one, if you like, is the angel Gabriel. Don't know if you ever think much about angels. I sometimes stand here when I'm praying, and I don't know about you, but I think I've told people this before, but I think those little arches in the trusses going across the church, I think they look like angels. Don't you think? A little bit with their head and their sort of arms like this. And, you know, I just helps me remember we're surrounded by angels. It says the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. Anyone fear the Lord? Angels of the Lord encamp around those who fear him. And I think angels are at work far more than we realize. I believe there are spiritual realms going on as we live out the physical realm. And the angels are God's messengers, God's servants, different from you and I as his servants. They are servants with power and heavenly beings. They're servants who move in answer to prayer. You see that in Daniel, that prayers happen and angels move. Wow. That inspire you to pray. And there's an angel sent from God here to bring a message to Mary. But this Gabriel, we've actually encountered him before in verse 19. Just glance up at this. I love this little bit of the story with Zechariah and Elizabeth. Because the angel answers Zechariah and says, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. Wow. This servant stands in the presence of God, has probably seen the outworkings of the prophecies and all the things of the Old Testament. The song we sung about that 400-year silence. He's been seeing this silence kind of happening and waiting and knowing that God was going to move and come. And then this is the moment. And he, at God's right hand, gets sent to come and bring this message. Can you imagine the excitement and the thrill? And so the angel Gabriel comes with confidence into this situation, knowing all that, you know, God has been doing and seeing and not knowing fully, obviously, but getting a heavenly perspective on things. And so he comes and says this, greetings, you who are highly favored. He would know. And then this wonderful little phrase, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. You know, it's striking. In Luke's account, we don't actually get any reference to Emmanuel. Comes in Matthew and also back in Isaiah chapter 7, where it says this in Isaiah chapter 7, which again, you know, probably Mary and the angel would be aware of. It says this in Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Love that song, Katie and the band that we just sung. You know, his name is Emmanuel. God with us. The Lord is with you. That phrase was ministering to me afresh this week, I thought, you know, in a very different way from Mary, but in a very amazing way, you and I have the Spirit of the living God in us. Wow, what grace and favor of God. The Lord is with you as you go about the things that God has called you to. So, Gabriel was a servant who could speak and do these things with great confidence. He saw heaven's perspective, but he's very different from our second servant. Our second servant is not got the kind of years and years of experience of serving God that Gabriel probably had over down through the millennia. And he's not got heaven's perspective. He's not got power to just come and go like that. The second servant is a young woman, probably a teenager. A lady called Mary from a nowhere place called Nazareth. She's the second servant. And, you know, I don't know how much you know about Mary, but her life is actually at this point quite fragile. She was pledged to be married. She was in that point of transitioning from her family's home to her husband's home. She was living in a fairly poor part of an occupied country 2,000 years ago. And she gets news that she's about to have a baby. And I've been thinking about Mary and her hearing this phenomenal message of the angel. I don't know if you notice how full it is of just huge themes. Verse 31, you will be with child. Well, first, you have found favor with God. You'd think, yes, back of the net. You found favor with God. You will be with child. And you go, whoa, head wreck. And give birth to a son. You usually have to wait till the scan or till you actually have birth to know what, you know, child it is, by the way. So that's just like you will give birth to a son and you will give him the name Jesus. He will be great. It's a peasant girl in Nazareth. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. You know, there's Herod on a throne at the moment in Israel at that time. And, you know, David's line and the whole, you know, Messiah thing. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. There's never been a king reign forever. His kingdom will never end. All the kingdoms would come and go. In fact, there was a big empire. I don't know if you heard of it. Roman Empire at the time. Kingdom seemed to be pretty well substantiated. So there's all these questions that Mary could have had. And I've been so struck that the question she's got is a question about her own life and how it will affect her. And I don't know about you, but I've found as I've journeyed with God and as I've seen others try and get to know God and journey with him, so often the questions that I've got and the questions others seem to have are actually very personal questions. How will this affect me? What will this mean for me? God, what does this mean for, you know, my future? God, what about my family? Do you ever have questions like that? I'm so thankful that Mary had questions like that. In fact, very few people come up and ask me, you know, this soul theology of, you know, that God's going to do this. Very few people actually ask me questions like that. A lot more people ask me questions like, I don't know if I should take this job or not. I don't know if it's God's will for my life. I don't know if this is the right thing to do. It's because actually our questions are often, even when we hear big, amazing stuff, they're about the ordinary things of our lives. Mary's question, how will this be since I'm a virgin? Not how will this be, God's been silent for 400 years, or how will this be because no one's ever lived forever, or how will this be because God's never come to earth before like this, or how will this be? No, how will this be because I'm a virgin? And you know, those kind of questions that we've got with God, he doesn't go, oh, never mind that. This is the other thing you should be focusing on. No, he's actually very gracious in drawing alongside and speaking to us in those situations. And he says to her, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born in you will be called the Son of God. Mary was amazingly underqualified for this job. that God was giving her. She never had a baby before. She was young. Sounds like she was pretty nervous about it. But the Lord had been watching this young woman's life. And she'd found favor with God. And so God was going to anoint her and saw in her simple faith all that was needed to carry out this momentous, momentous role. And I think there's something here that's massively helpful for us as we think about being God's servants. You see, we often think other people will be better qualified servants than us. You know, Mary wasn't wealthy, and yet we often think people who are more well off are going to make better servants. You know, this is God's son come to earth, and Mary probably didn't know how she was actually going to feed him or clothe him or any of this kind of thing. And you'd think if this was going to be the King of Kings that God would kind of fix a secure financial situation for the future. You would think, wouldn't you? Maybe you're even struggling with your own kids or own grandkids and thinking their future's a bit financially insecure. Hey, God didn't think that was going to be a problem for his son, because he was God and he came into this family of Mary. He chose Mary. You know, Mary wasn't experienced in knowing what to do with babies. This wasn't like a great midwife. In fact, she was even going to be away from her family. And yet God, was able to use her and chose to use her. Mary didn't have all the answers. You know, we often think, well, I can't be ready to be used by God yet or be a servant, because what if there's this question or that question? I don't have all the answers. Mary didn't have all the answers. She didn't see things as Gabriel saw them from God's perspective. And yet God chose to use her. You know, I think what God was looking for above all else in Mary is this amazing availability. I don't know if you've thought about her response to the angel in verse 38. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. I've been thinking about that verse in a fresh way as well, over and over again this past week or so. And do you know that if we think about being the Lord's servant, I don't know, maybe this is just me. I often think, okay, I'm the Lord's servant. God, what do you want me to do? Do you ever think like that? You know, God, here I am. You know, I'm your servant. What do you want me to do? Look back with what Mary's saying here. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. Help me to do what you want me to do. Does she say that? I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. There is something about Mary's servant heart which is not saying, right, God, right here, what do you want me to do? It's actually an accepting of God's will for her life. Heaven had a destiny and a purpose for Mary's life. Heaven has a destiny and a purpose for your life. God has something he wants to do through each one of you. Are you willing and ready to say, okay, God, I'm your servant. May it be to me as you want it to be. And that purpose sometimes is to do stuff that you think, no way can I do that. I've not got qualifications or the expertise or the experience I need to do that. But servanthood is willingness to do it, to go through it. There'll be other things that you don't necessarily plan or do, but they just come your way. They are challenges, struggles, pain, difficulty. But through that, God is going to use and work in amazing ways. And again, are you willing, like Mary, to say, I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. I'd encourage you and I to have that kind of surrendered heart, a surrenderedness that enables her to be used by God. How will God use one so underqualified? How will God use a virgin to have a baby? Surely that's impossible. That's the whole point. Enter God from stage left. He specializes in the impossible. And God comes and says, for nothing is impossible with God. Can this city be turned around by less than 5% of Christians in the city? Absolutely. With God, we can do it. Can it be turned around in your own strength or my own strength? Absolutely not. But with God, nothing is impossible. So as we surrender, then the anointing comes. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, the angel says. God's Holy Spirit comes upon those who submit and surrender their lives to the Lord. And praise the Lord that as we do that, the Holy Spirit does come and help us. Praise God that for every appointment, there is an anointment. I love that phrase. Can you say it with me? Praise God for every appointment, there is an anointment. When God makes an appointment for you and divine encounter with somebody else, a role he wants you to fill, then he brings that anointment in your life to be able to fill it, just as he did for Mary. You know, she wasn't perfect. People have tried to make out she was. Catholic Church almost deifies her. But she wasn't perfect. But she was highly favored. She was a surrendered woman. She was one who, in our attempt not to deify, we can often forget that she was a remarkable servant of the living God, young as though she was. Mary. She was the second servant, but there's a third servant here, a very different servant from Gabriel, a very different servant from Mary, but one who the angel points to. And this is to Elizabeth. Elizabeth was much older than Mary. She was past the sort of childbearing age. She was barren, and yet God had done an amazing thing in Elizabeth's life and caused Elizabeth to have a child. And what I love here is that God so often uses one servant to encourage another servant. When God is working in your life, he often reminds you and says, hey, look, see what I'm doing in that other person's life. Take courage. Be encouraged. What God is doing. I don't know about you, but I was just standing there this morning for those testimonies, just thinking, so encouraged what God's doing in other people's lives. Sim, he's at work. And it kind of says, yeah, God's at work. God can do stuff. And as God speaks and ministers to you, allow him to also point out others to you and go, hey, look what I'm doing in so-and-so's life. Look what I'm doing in so-and-so's life. I look out here and I often, see people and think, hey, praise God, what God is doing in and through people's lives. God so often even can use you as a servant of God to say to another servant of God, be encouraged as you look at that third servant of God and what they're doing. You become like the angel Gabriel in that, because that's what he did. Hey, take heart. Look, so-and-so, God's at work in their lives. He's doing a miracle. Keep trusting in him. And so that's what happens with Mary. She thinks straight away. It says, in fact, I love this little phrase in Luke chapter 1, verse 39. At that time then, the angel left. That must have been hard. All these things, all these other questions maybe. The angel left, and at that time, Mary got ready, and it says she hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea and greeted Elizabeth and that wonderful encounter they had there. So, three servants, but then this wonderful baby. This wonderful baby who we read about here in verse 30, 31 and then 35 as well. This wonderful little phrase where it says, you will be with child and give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus. Do you have special Christmas memories? You know, kind of, I always hope that there's going to be a time in the Christmas period where something about this, the wonder of Christmas, will just strike me afresh and will just be really precious. And it might be something familiar, it might be something new. And sometimes that happens on Christmas, sometimes it happens in the weeks running up, sometimes it happens like in a carol service or something like that. For me, a few years ago, it happened when Summerhill were having a concert here. And I remember it very clearly. I think I was sitting about over there where Sam is. Give us a wave, Sam. Thank you. Great, whole, special spot. The Summerhill concert was going on and, we'd been involved helping and I just found a seat and was sitting down. And all these kids, most of whom don't come to church, aren't Christians. The teacher had got them singing a song, and it went like this. They call him Jesus, Jesus the Savior. They call him Jesus, Son of the Most High God. They call him Jesus, Jesus the Savior. They call him Jesus, Son of the Most High God. They just went on. This was the kind of refrain of the song. I just thought, these kids, they're singing what the angel said. Call him Jesus, Jesus the Savior. Jesus, Son of the Most High God. You know, in all the busyness of Christmas, all the things you've got on your to-do list for this week, don't miss the Savior. The Son of the Most High God. The one who's done it all. You know, it's actually the whole future of the universe and the world does not depend on you and I finishing our to-do list for the next week. Hey, praise God. Isn't that great? It depends on him, and it's sure and certain of the, it says in Isaiah 9, and Katie read it for us, of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. And it says here in verse 33, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. I'm so struck with all the news at the moment of these European leaders and trying gathering and trying to save the euro and trying to save Europe. And then, you know, this political storm of, you know, did David Cameron do the right thing and, you know, save that relationship and the economy in Britain as well and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, and I just think all these people, some of them very bright, some of them very gifted people, and yet they can't save a currency, let alone the world. You know, I'm serious. And here's this one, this child who came, and he's the Savior of the world. It's Jesus. He will be great. Boy, she couldn't have even fathomed how great. Not even fathomed. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. He is God come to earth. The one who's inspired so many songs, the one who is worshipped and praised throughout the world. You know, forever you reign. Jesus, you reign. And you know, Jesus is King and I will extol him. You know, all these wonderful hymns and songs that give us praise and worship to God. But you know, as we think about his kingship, as I said this morning, I've been struck by this little phrase, I am the Lord's servant. And I said to this friend I was meeting up with, actually, to just talk about spiritual things with, and we've been doing that for a while, and he said to, you know, to me, quoting back something I'd said to him, I said, you said that phrase I keep finding really helpful. You know, there is a God, and you are not him. He said, I can get that. I'm getting that. There is a God, and I'm not him. That's great. And we were, you know, so I don't think I'm ready yet, though, to, you know, To become a Christian, to go down that route. And I said, well, you know, tell me, you know, in your view of God, do you think God should serve you or that you should serve God? And I said this morning, and I have to say that as I thought about the way I operate with God, I know how easily I get into, God, come on, help me out with this, God, come on. Come on, God. Come on, I'm doing this. Keep up, God. You know, come on. You know, can you do this? Can you do this, God? Can you do this, God? And actually, it's about me. And actually, it's all about him. And he, in his grace, pursues me and even lavishes his love and his goodness on me. Like we sang. He's the servant king. But he's calling out to me, David, David. And often he's calling out to me, wait, slow down. Repent. Believe. Trust me. Serve me. It's better that way. And as we come to this Christmas time, I wonder whose life, whose hands is your life in? Whose hands is your diary in? Whose hands is this week ahead in? Is it in your hands? I've used this before, but a very fiery kind of Pentecostal type preacher, you know, once said, you know, it all depends whose hands it's in. You know, a violin in my hands is just a, you know, squeaky note. But in someone like Vanessa May's hands, you know, it can play the most amazing things. You see, it all depends whose hands it in. A golf club in my hands, you know, might knock a ball into the ditch. But in someone like, you know, Rory McIlroy or Luke Donald, you know, it can play winning strokes that see them through, you know, championships. Because it all depends whose hands it's in. Tennis racket in my hand, well, I can use it as a weapon. Can hit balls out of the court. But in Roger Federer's hands, can win in tournaments. Because it all depends whose hands it's in. A sling in my hands probably hit me on the head. Certainly miss its mark. But in young David's hands, the shepherd boy, can slay giants. Because it all depends whose hands it's in. What about a staff in my hands? You know, I might be able to chase a few animals away, but in Moses' hands, the staff can part the Red Sea, because it all depends whose hands it's in. You know, a 5 loaves and a few fish in my hands can make a few fish sandwiches for me and my girls. But in Jesus' hands, it feeds 5,000, because it all depends whose hands it's in. You know, woods and nails in my hand make a boss job of fixing something around the house, but in Jesus' hands becomes the saving of the world, because it all depends whose hands it's in. You holding onto your diary pretty tight this week? Your life this week? You holding pretty tightly onto your money this week? Holding pretty tightly onto those around you this week. Hey, who will you place your life? Whose hands will you put it in? Tonight, I want to just simply say this. Holland Road, put your life afresh into the hands of the living God, and it will not be wasted. God will be able to take and use it far more than you and I could ever imagine. You will be able to be those lights that we saw early on. And may you and I have this amazing sense as we come as one of the servants to that baby again, that child who reigns forevermore. May we have an overwhelming desire to say, yes, Jesus, I trust you. Yes, Jesus, I trust you. You know, one of the things that I think was quite hard for for those who came to worship the baby, the shepherds and the kings, is that they were coming to worship and to adore this child. You know, it required faith. And one of the things for you and I is we don't see him. It requires faith. And yet, he is real. These are actual accounts. Luke went, and I was saying to some people this afternoon, I believe he went and actually interviewed Mary and got her record. That's why so much of Mary's story in Luke chapter 1 and 2 and things that really would only know if Luke had actually gone and spoken to it. These are actual accounts, and you can trust them, and you and I can put our hands into the one who came and stepped into our world, that we might be able to be his servants. The light of the world came and shone in the darkness, and he calls to you and I, go and be lights for him. So, this evening, do you want to fresh place your life into his hands? To say, here it is, God, here's my week, here's my day tomorrow, here's my to-do list. And ask him, not just to come and help you do your bit that you're trying to get done, come and say, God, first and foremost, I want to help you. I want to serve you. I want these days to be ordered around you. I want to afresh find my joy and my delight in you. So as we just pause right now, let's just bow our heads. The band's going to come up. And I sometimes find it helpful just to place my hands out open in front of me and just surrender again my life to him and say, God, here I am. Here's my life as I know it. The future that I have, and I just come and I just place it, as it were, before me in my open hands, and I offer it to God again. And just in this moment of quiet, why not come and do that right now? Sometimes there's something particular that you're holding on to tightly. It's harder to let go of that thing. That friend, that member of the family, that worry. God says, cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Place your life in His hands again. Maybe if you have your Bible in front of you, you could turn to Luke 1:38, and we're just going to say these words that Mary said to the angel. We're going to say them to the Lord together. We'll miss out the sort of narrative bits. We'll just say what she says. So, Lord, as we place our lives in your hands, we say together, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Amen. Amen.